You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it right now at band.video.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, folks, we are now live. We are now live on this Thursday, the 26th of September. My apologies. Got into a little bit of a car accident today. A little bit of a fender bender. Everybody's fine, but everybody's fine, though. I was taking a left turn. Somebody just pulled into my lane and hit me. No big deal, but I do apologize. But luckily, we have those incredible previous interviews to keep you busy while I came in. So I'm here now. We're going to do your daily dispatch. We're going to talk to Edward Zoll. We're going to take your calls, and we're going to cover all of the nonsense like we always do. So let's begin today, as we do every day, with our daily dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your daily dispatch for Thursday, the 26th of September, 2024. Suited up feds search Gracie Mansion after Eric Adams becomes first indicted New York City mayor. Nearly a dozen suited up federal agents arrived at Eric Adams' mayoral home, Gracie Mansion, first thing Thursday to search his official residence just hours after Hisner became the first Big Apple mayor to be indicted on federal probe. What is Hisner? What is that? Am I missing something? Anyway, the men and women, who were all clad in business attire, filed into the mansion shortly before 6 a.m., hauling briefcases and large bags. At least two large SUVs were spotted at the mansion, had federal law enforcement parking placards displayed on their dashboards. Another black SUV that was spotted pulling into the property under the cover of darkness appeared to be a prisoner transportation vehicle with a steel partition separating the front and back seats, clearly visible photos taken by the Post show. Eric Adams has come out and given a statement about this that was very vague, very interesting. There's like not a lot of information about this, but it's one of those moments where like nobody really knows what's going on yet, as far as I know. But everybody has an opinion. But everybody is like just speculating wildly. It's very strange. So, and I don't know if we have that video, but we should grab the video of Eric Adams making his statement, because he's like there are going to be accusations and they're false, and they're going to say some things, but none of it's true. It's like, okay, what is happening? Yeah, like I get if you're trying to get out in front of a story, you want to tell the story in a way that makes you seem favorable. You want to capture the initiative on setting the narrative, but you have to actually say what it is, right? The idea is if they're going to come out and say, "Oh, kicked a dog," you want to come out and go, "Look, they're going to say I kicked a dog, but let me tell you how it really went down. Let me tell you why the dog deserved it," or whatever, right? You want to set the table so that then when everything comes out, people have your narrative in mind, not theirs. But to come out and just be like, things are going to happen, but they're not true, and they're going to say things about me, but I'm a good person. See you tomorrow. And it's like, well, all right, this doesn't really mean anything. And then immediately you have people online. I honestly, it's like very strange to me. People just being like, he's being railroaded. Other people just being like, yeah, he deserves to take him down. It's like nobody knows what's happening so far. Nobody has any idea. It's almost like cartoonish where this mayor comes out and is just like, I'm being accused of things and they're not true. And just half the crowd is just like, boo, no, you're guilty. And the other half is just like, he's innocent, let him go. And it's like nobody knows. Nobody has any idea what the accusations are, whether they're valid, what the evidence is, why this is happening, whether it's political persecution or the legitimate investigation that found corruption. Nobody knows. There is some speculation about cryptocurrency and how Eric Adams, I guess, was high up in a crypto called Tether, or I don't even know what Tether is. I don't even understand this crap, but the president of Tether is associated with him. Oh, we're in commercial break. We'll be right back. Hold that thought, folks. We'll be right back.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation, and also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work for somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the alexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
You're listening to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back, folks. I'm all out of sorts here. I forgot we had that five-minute shortened segment. Still getting used to these long 30-minute segments we have now that we've gotten rid of two of our commercial breaks. So we'll get back to the story in just a second. I'll show you examples of people jumping the gun on this. What I was saying was that I guess Eric Adams was partnered with somebody at the top of Tether. The person, his partner, is now working with the Trump campaign. So there's speculation that this could be associated with maybe some crypto FEC financial filings. As far as I know, I mean, unless I missed something in the last hour that I've been dealing with insurance and stuff, nothing's come out about this. So we'll get back to that. I'll show you the video and I'll show you some of the reactions that people are having. Meanwhile, Israeli strikes on Lebanon and Gaza leave hundreds dead and wounded. More than 90,000 displaced in Lebanon as Israel calls up reservists for possible ground invasion. Israeli attacks on Gaza kill at least 16 Palestinians. Israeli statements could sabotage Hezbollah-Israeli truce talks, say Western diplomats. The death toll of Palestinians killed in Gaza since the 7th of October has risen to 41,534, with another 96,000 injured, the enclave's health ministry has reported. Israel continues to strike Beirut, especially the southern suburbs. And there's been a lot of sort of back and forth here. There's areas where the Iron Dome is depleted of missiles, and the Hezbollah missiles are breaking through. Yesterday, there was this drama where it was reported an attempted incursion into Israeli territory was met with, you know, massive force by the Israelis themselves, and it turned out to be wild hogs. So apparently there was a pitched battle between Israeli soldiers, helicopters, like tanks, like they deployed everything, thinking it was a incursion, only to realize it was couple of hogs, which reminds me of the event early on in the current Gaza war, where Hezbollah tied a bunch of lights to migratory birds and sent them over Israel. So Israel thought it was a drone swarm attack and scrambled, and like the sirens went off and the radar went crazy. And it turned out it was just a flock of birds. I'm saying maybe the pigs are working for Hezbollah. Maybe they're all in on it together, although that wouldn't be very halal, would it? Very haram. Meanwhile, docs reveal Facebook trained CDC on how to censor Americans. This from the Federalist. It comes from a lawsuit by the America First Legal Organization. New documents reveal Facebook trained officials in the Center for Disease Control and Prevention on how to censor American speech on COVID and vaccine misinformation. According to records made public by the conservative nonprofit America First Legal, Facebook opened an end-to-end workflow allowing federal bureaucrats to flag posts for censorship. The new portal dramatically increased the efficiency of the censorship machine by allowing up to 20 links at a time to be referred for censoring, AFL reported. Each censorship request automatically generated a ticket number so that the government could track if Facebook complied with the censorship demands. Now, this comes at the same time that Mark Zuckerberg is apparently making a transformation into a libertarian. Okay, sure. And of course, he wrote the letter saying, actually, yeah, we did censor people on behalf of Uncle Sam. And we feel real bad about it, guys. We're super sorry, for reals, though. And I wonder if this is just the beginning and if things are going to get a lot crazier. Clearly, he's making some public relations, highly calculated move. And I wonder why. I wonder what information he has and why he's so desperate to distance himself from, you know, all of the anti-American activity he's been involved in. But we're not going to forget. We hold grudges, Mark. FBI letter to DHS IG confirms agency deleted J6 pipe bomb footage by early March 2022. Just hours ago, Revolver published a breaking report drawing renewed attention to the significance of DNC surveillance footage that the FBI presented to the public in furtherance of its investigation of the January 6 pipe bombs. In late 2022, Revolver published a series of damning articles definitively showing that the FBI was withholding critical DNC surveillance footage from the public, and in all overwhelming likelihood, the footage the FBI presented to the public was deliberately degraded in quality so as to prevent the public from being able to identify the bomber. In the piece in question from earlier today, they broke the news that they learned from a highly trusted source that a government employee, not the FBI, investigating aspects of the January 6th pipe bomb case, went to the DNC and viewed its footage from the evening of the 5th. The government employee reported that he or she definitely and clearly saw the video, the pipe bomber placing the bomb. The employee did not notice any degraded quality, as is evidence of the footage the FBI presented to the public of the pipe bomber on the evening of January 5th. There are a number of critically urgent questions that arise from this explosive information. So yeah, the FBI deliberately hiding evidence of the pipe bomber. It was an inside job, folks. January 6th was an inside job, and hopefully one day we will get the full story once people currently in charge are punished for their crimes and replaced. And finally, this story from the AP is just the last one. Folks, it's time. Okay, it's time. It's September, which means, according to the AP News, it's time to roll up your sleeves for new COVID and flu shots. It's time, folks. Come get your poison. Fall means it's time for just about everybody to get up to date on their flu and COVID-19. I don't even want to read this. I don't even want to read this propaganda. It's not time. Do not ever get flu or COVID-19 vaccines. Neither is necessary. Probably both of them are poison. And I really just put this in to tell the story because, look, we've been in this for so long. We've been, you know, anti-vax, like it's been so obvious for so long. And it's been nice seeing piece by piece, you know, population by population, people waking up to what's going on, the numbers coming in where it's like half a percentage point of the population has even gotten a second COVID shot. Like, people are awake now, and it's nice because we've been here the whole time, and it's like we're in the safe zone, we're in the truth arena, and crowds are trickling in, and more people are joining us in here. But I want to remind you that there's still huge numbers of people outside, and the persistence with which they are wrong is just shocking. It really is. My wife was telling me a story. Coworker of hers has gotten every booster they've offered. They've probably had 6 or 7 shots, and they've gotten COVID like every 3 months for the last 3 years. And my wife and I have gotten COVID once. We got COVID once early on in the midst of the pandemic. Haven't tested positive for it since. Haven't had symptoms since. But the people that are getting vaccinated are getting COVID to a crippling degree every 3 months. And so she's telling this story, the coworker, and she goes, yeah, you know, I got COVID and my husband realized he hadn't gotten his booster yet. So he went really quickly, you know, to get his booster, you know, since I had COVID, he wanted to be immune to it. So he went and got his booster vaccine. And then he got COVID 2 days later. So like, I just want to remind you how utterly lost people are still to this day. There are still people out there that are wearing masks. There are still people out there that are getting their 7th booster, having gotten COVID 5 or 6 times and they're getting COVID the day after they get the booster, and they don't think that's strange or weird or anything. They don't even, it like doesn't even compute to them that the people who have never gotten a vaccine got COVID once 4 years ago and never again, while they get booster after booster and they keep getting COVID. I just want to remind you folks, I just feel a responsibility to remind you that where we live is sort of a fantasy world. The whole InfoWars community, it's a little bubble of paradise where people are awake and aware of what's going on. Outside of this bubble, are people just lining up for cyanide? Like they're just lining up for poison. They are willingly subjecting themselves to something that proves over and over and over again it's either ineffective or actually poisonous. So I just want to remind you. I just want to remind you about that in case you forget just how far people are gone at this point. It is crazy. I was talking to another family friend over the weekend. They had a friend, 45-year-old woman, just drop over dead, blood clot in her brain. Seems like every day or every other day, there's some 35-year-old athlete, the prime of his life, the top of his training, just falling over dead. Recently, it was a jiu-jitsu black belt, right? Who was the guy that died yesterday? I didn't know who he was. Apparently, he was famous in the sports world, 33, 35 years old. Died suddenly. And it's just one of those things where it's like, I mean, it feels like a Black Mirror episode or an episode of The Twilight Zone, where before the year 2020, if a 35-year-old athlete or a 45-year-old mother just died, it was like a big deal. It was like there'd be an investigation. They'd want to do an autopsy. It feels like a Twilight Zone episode where it's like, oh yeah, 45-year-old people sometimes just fall over dead. And you're sitting here like, no, this is not normal. This has never happened before. It's not normal. It's not routine. It's either some freak medical accident where they have like a tumor growing they don't know about and it severs their nerve endings, or I don't know. It's like it's either a very rare, unlucky medical enigma, or like it was murder. And so like if a young person dies in their sleep at 35, before 2020, the police would come in and go, what was she drinking? Who were her enemies? I mean, maybe it was just a freak heart attack. That does happen every couple of years, maybe. But it's not normal. And what's even less normal is people's ability to ignore it. That's like even crazier than the fact people are dying, is the fact that I can be talking to a family friend. It's just like, yeah, blood clot, 45, alive one moment, dead the next. And it's like, and even I, you know, even as somebody who does this for a living and so outspoken about it, like, even I'm just going, oh my gosh, that's so tragic. Because, I mean, it's tragic. I'm not being facetious or anything. I'm like, but what's screaming in my head was like, it was the vaccine. You know, it was the vaccine, right? That sounds like a vaccine injury. It sounds like your friend was killed by the COVID vaccine. But like, you know, we're at a birthday party. I don't know. I don't really want to open that can of worms. So I'm just like, oh my God, that's so sad. Like, how tragic. That's horrible. At least she didn't suffer. Like, I don't know. I'm trying to find things to say, but it's like, okay, your friend was murdered by Dr. Anthony Fauci. You understand that, right? But I don't think they do. I don't think they do. So it's time to get your flu shots. So folks, the AP is here to tell, rolling up those sleeves, you guys. You know, just make sure your will is in order and then roll up those sleeves. Make sure your next of kin is ready to be alerted and then get your flu shot. because it's time to die. We're going to move on now. I've got a bunch of videos that I would like to show you, including I will be going and grabbing the Eric Adams video, because that one is just, it is truly strange. It's truly strange. I'll go ahead and put this in right now. And we'll talk about Eric Adams. Again, unless there's new information breaking in the time that I've been on air, as far as I know, nothing official has been said about why he has been indicted, what he's indicted for, why they have searched his home, again, from the Daily Dispatch. Suited up feds search Gracie Mansion after Eric Adams becomes first indicted NYC mayor. Nearly a dozen suited up federal agents arrived at Eric Adams' mayoral home, Gracie Mansion, first thing Thursday to search his official residence just hour after Hisner became the first Big Apple mayor to be indicted on in a federal probe. What is Hisner? I got to look up what Hisner is. I just put the video in, guys, if you can tell me when you pull that in. It's the statement from Eric Adams. As he attempts to get out in front of whatever happened, but doesn't give anything about it. Hisner and Herner on occasion is a corruption of the title His Honor, used in particular to refer irreverently to the mayor of larger cities. Okay. Okay, great. All right, so they're using slang in the New York Post. Okay. Tell me when you got that video, and we'll go to it, because I want people to see, if they haven't already, the strangeness with which he announces the fact that he's under indictment. And then, but then, you know, I got these statements from people on X, like Ashley St. Clair, who's like, Mayor Eric Adams is being politically persecuted by a weaponized judicial system for being the only big city Democrat mayor to speak out against the flood of illegal migrants into our neighborhoods. And it's like, I don't think so. I don't think that's. And we don't know, but like, what are you talking about? This is so, it's very strange how people have very strong opinions about stuff that nobody knows is happening. It's very odd. Let's go to this statement. Here's New York City Mayor Eric Adams.
My fellow New Yorkers, it is now my belief that the federal government intends to charge me with crimes. If so, these charges will be entirely false, based on lies. But they would not be surprising. I always knew that if I stood my ground for all of you, that I would be a target. And a target I became. For months, leaks and rumors have been aimed at me in an attempt to undermine my credibility and paint me as guilty. Just this past week, they searched the home of our new police commissioner, looking for documents from 20 years ago, just 1 week after he joined my administration. Enough. I will fight these injustices with every ounce of my strength and my spirit. If I'm charged, I know I am innocent.
I mean, it's... So they're expected to announce the charges Thursday. Honestly, I'm like speechless. I don't know if this is a comedy, if this is, I mean, what was that? Honestly, what was that? Like, I want a transcript of it just so I can go through line by line. He says, it is now my belief that I'm going to be charged for crimes. And I'm innocent. I don't know what the crimes they're charging me, but I am innocent. I knew they were going to come after me for standing up to you. Like, what is he stood up for or against? What is he talking about? I don't understand. Like, when you see that, it's either like, okay, this dude has, you know, bodies in his basement. This is the vibe I get. He's either like panically trying to come out in front of just the most horrific story ever, and he's going down, but he's like flailing as he's like, I got to do something. I'll put out a statement. It doesn't matter if it doesn't make any sense. Or I don't know what else. I don't know what the other option is, I guess. Or it is fake. It's just like the sense I get from it. And again, I don't know. We don't know if he's guilty or not. We don't even know what he's supposed to be guilty of. Nobody has any information about this. But it kind of reminds me of, like, I don't know, somebody like Ted Bundy getting up in front of the cameras and just going, I am being persecuted because I choose to stand up against the powerful. And it's like, no, you killed women. What are you talking? What? Just take the punishment. You committed crimes. It's time to admit to those. And it doesn't even make sense what you're saying. You were trying to stand up against somebody or for somebody. Who are you standing up for? Who are you standing up against? Whoa. What does it have to do with the crimes that you're committed of? Like, it's Twilight Zone bizarreness. And maybe I'm wrong. I have the feeling that Eric Adams is about to go down in a very big way. That's probably legitimate. If I just had to guess, I'm going to guess that, like, this is not political persecution. Again, nobody knows. I'm speculating as wildly as everybody else. But Ashley St. Clair goes on to say, by the way, the inside scoop is Mayor Eric Adams was meeting with several large right-wing leaders over the last 6 months. This indictment isn't about political corruption. We still have no idea where the $850 million for mental health services that Bill de Blasio's wife misplaced is. Selective persecution. Prosecution. Is it about political corruption? We don't know. But what is she talking about? Now, she lives in New York, so I'd assume that she might have some inside information with people there, but why are you defending the guy if you don't even know what the indictments are? We have no idea what he's even supposedly guilty of. So why is this happening? Other people, you know, and it's just the funny part is that it's people on both sides just like coming out so strongly when nobody has any idea. It's half the side being like, oh, well, the DOJ is just doing this as a show to make it look like they're actually nonpartisan because, you know, people are so mad that they're just going after Trump that they're like, oh, we'll go after a Democrat mayor, too. And it's just like, but you have no idea. You have no idea about any of this. So until we actually know anything about this, we'll withhold our judgment on it, but also just sit in baffled bewilderment at the fact that people on both sides have already taken sides on this idea. And people saying, well, he's the only big city mayor to come out against migration. He hasn't come out against migration. He's demanded that the feds give him more money because his policy is bankrupting his city because he brought in all the immigrants and he gave them all 5-star hotel rooms. So you think he's being indicted by the DOJ because he complained about the problem that he caused? What is this even? What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. This is the problem, folks. You need professional conspiracy theorists. You need InfoWars. We can't have all these amateurs out there speculating wildly off no information, making the rest of us look bad. You got to have some information. You got to have some insight. You got to have some documents. Then you speculate. Then you figure it out. Oh, my God, it's him. It was him the entire time. Eric Adams, Ted Bundy, confirmed.
It's Friday, August 16th, 2024. The world is changing. The globalist system is now attacking humanity. Yes, our program's come to an end. The grid. Frontier. I tried to picture clusters of information as they move through the computer. What do they look like? Ships, motorcycles, with circuits like freeways. I kept dreaming of the world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in. We'll be right back.
friend of mine, really smart guy, is our guest. And I'm just going to put this right up front. If I owned a restaurant, I would want to have the best, most delicious, healthy food at the most affordable prices where I got the biggest crowds in. So you had a great experience. You want to come back 100 times and I make money and I'm successful. You have a great time. You get treated right. I get treated right. That's a community. So let's say it again. People really responded to this truth. I've been on there 30 years. I've had gold sponsors for 28 years as sponsors. Only two companies. Because if you want a numismatic, they'd sell it to you, but they would try to sell you gold and silver bullion with, you know, 10% markup or whatever to pay their bills and do it. And that's very fair. You barely do it. I don't know how Kirk does it at 8% with his crew and his everything and the quality and the marketing, but he does it. So he's paying for marketing and running his crew and doing all this stuff for 8% and no charge to sell it back. Everybody else does that. It's such a good deal. It's very frustrating. I know we have millions of people watching every hour, and a lot of folks are calling. He's getting thousands of calls when he comes on. That's great. But it needs to be tens of thousands of calls. I mean, this is so simple. In a world of fiat, you at least want to have a hedge that's in silver and gold. And if you look at what's happening, I am only going to try to push something that I believe I would personally do. And that I personally do. I mean, it's real simple. Do unto others as you do unto you. That's the golden rule. And Christ said, actually, you need to go further, lay your life down for others. But when everybody's like that, you live in a great society because nobody's really having any problems. Everybody's a badass. Everybody's willing to sacrifice. So it is a no-brainer to call them, do a consultation, and get into silver right now. And if you want some gold, you know, maybe get it 80% silver, get some gold. But I think he's dead on. I don't think I know. You would be all silver. That's what's going to go up, obviously. That's what's undervalued. Then you get the gold once it skyrockets, which is already happening. So you need to go to kepm.com/gold. That's Kirk Elliott Precious Metals. kepm.com/gold. And then InfoWars is the support. Or you can call 720-605-3900. And listen, if enough of you went there, because he does his sponsorship off of what percentage he gets, we could get reporters back, expand, do anything. I mean, already we would not be on air right now if it wasn't for his sponsorship. He takes us over the top to be in the black. Not much, but a little bit. And so I appreciate the crew staying with us through all this hell. It's been wild. We're still here by the grace of God, but you need to support this sponsor. It supports what we're doing. Plus, it's the best deal, the best company, the highest ratings. It's so simple. Call him now, 720-605-3900.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The American Journal, InfoWars.com, band.video. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. My guest is Edward Zoll. Ed Zoll is the host of The Agenda on X and producer of Died Suddenly. He's with us today to talk about one of Kamala's biggest scandals that nobody is talking about. You can follow Died Suddenly on X at DiedSuddenly_ and the website DiedSuddenly.info. Ed, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, pleasure to be here, Harrison. It's quite an honor. Quite an honor. And, you know, even going back to the beginning of our friendship, man, you have come a long way. My goodness, it's exciting to see your career and your family, man. You are the American dream. So I'm glad to join you here on The American Journal.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much. Well, you too. I mean, Died Suddenly is a force to be reckoned with, a cultural phenomenon, if I may say so. And also, I didn't see anywhere on the sheet they gave me. You do a Bible study like every day because I see it on X. Tell us about yes, that real quick, yeah, in case people are interested.
It's a passion project. You know, I saw all these younger Christian men who, you know, were watching streamers. They were watching, you know, whatever popped up on their feed, and they were doom scrolling. And I was like, man, I really would like to try to positively impact these younger guys. So I started a Bible study about 3 years ago. Been doing it Monday through Thursday. Friday, I can't do it because I got to spend the time with the wife. She put out her foot on that. But anyway, it's a Bible study. Starts at 7:15 a.m. Eastern if you're up and around. And we're going through the book of Revelation right now, which is kind of very, very aptly timed based on all the things that are happening in the world. Yeah. And if we get enough like engagement, I promise the stream and the people watching that I jump in the pool. So that's part of the bargain. And they stay the entire time, Harrison. We're teaching the younger guys, the next generation, the Bible. I just have to trade jumping in a pool for it. So
that's well worth it. No, that's great. And it's great to see so many people like yourself, taking on these multifaceted positions and helping to guide younger people in a way that is positive and not just, telling them to indulge in their worst instincts. So I did want to plug that, because I think that's an extremely positive thing. But now you have some interesting information about sort of what we've been talking about Mayor Eric Adams. We have some more information about that connection to P. Diddy. But I want to start with a tweet from Died Suddenly that went pretty viral. We covered it. We covered the story momentarily yesterday, but it deserves a lot more attention. It says this: Died Suddenly _ on X. Congress just ran a drill to test run replacing lawmakers after a mass casualty assassination event. A constitutional amendment has been proposed by these four congressmen to make all elected officials choose five people who can be picked by their state governor if they're killed without any vote from any constituents. A lot of strange things about this. What's your take on it? Why would they do this? Why do it now? What is this about, Ed?
I think that everyone is feeling the climate right now. There's definitely a spirit of murder in the air. We see this with the very public threats on President Trump's life, and also the drumbeats to war. I mean, this morning I woke up looking at a very scary headline that Russia is threatening to use nuclear weapons if the U.S., after Zelensky's meeting with Biden today, agrees to allow them to use missiles against Moscow's capital. I mean, stuff like that, I think it has people kind of unsettled. In regard to this drill, we know that it's never the headline. It's never what's happening. The agenda behind this, I believe, is they are trying to do predictive programming. I think that many of the members of Congress who are neoconservatives, who are their mindset is they love bloodshed, they love war because it helps their stocks. It also helps Satan. Anybody who dies, it feeds his energy level. But I think in respect to this, they took advantage of the assassination attempts on President Trump to propose something that should be completely foreign, completely insane to most Americans, that we would literally amend our own Constitution and then, in the event of the death of half of Congress, because that's what this drill was. It was published through the Washington Post. I'm sure you covered this yesterday. It was kind of hidden. It was behind a paywall until this week, so no one really saw it. But they ran a drill, and they said, oh, well, if Congress is all wiped out, then we're basically going to be without governance. What are we going to do, Harrison? You and I are too stupid to govern ourselves. We're going to have to empower the governors of those states to pick from a basically puppet list of five candidates. If a congressman comes into office, they would basically have to pick five stooges from the party, obviously establishment people from their state. And then if they die, the governor just picks from the roulette. He says, okay, I'll pick stooge number one to replace this man. No vote, no feedback from the constituency. And then guess what? That person is now enacting laws or voting on what would be probably the biggest emergency in U.S. history if half of Congress was killed, right? But this story, the deeper part of this, Harrison, a lot of people missed, is it coincided with the Summit of the Future that was in New York City. It was a United Nations style event. And at this event, they spoke also about building an emergency platform. Now, this emergency platform, they always use such vague and very kind of sanitized language in their documents and their statements. But what we did catch is that they proposed, in the event of a black swan event, an event which would be cataclysmic, a nuclear attack, a pandemic, bioweapon, something crazy that disrupts society, that then we would have to bring in non-government actors to run the day-to-day operations, including foreign entities, foreign dignitaries, foreign governments, and potentially even a foreign army. Maybe, again, this is what the migration crisis was always about. We always wondered, the UN's not going to bring in their blue helmets, right? But maybe they've been bringing them in with brown people and other foreigners through the border.
Yeah, it's... They're definitely getting something ready, or they're training America to expect something. I mean, the number of announcements like this obviously coincides with the Pact for the Future. It coincides with the threats of nuclear war with Russia. It coincides with the Middle East, blowing up into outright war. It coincides with the FBI making statements about, you need to be prepared with 3 months of stored food and water. It's like something's coming. Something's coming. Something's happening. They're setting up for something. And it's sort of obviously suspicious, because don't they have procedures in place already if a congressman dies in office? Why would they need a new set of procedures to handle this? Why are they treating it as if it's likely that half of Congress is killed all of a sudden? Like, obviously there's things like the designated survivor. I'm sure people are aware of that, where during the State of the Union or other events where you've got the entire executive branch, the entire judicial branch, the entire legislative branch all in one building together. It's like, kind of makes sense. It's like, okay, if something happens and that building collapses and the entire government is gone, we got to have designated people that are not invited, that stay somewhere else, will stay safe. And like, that kind of makes sense. But why are they doing it now? What are they preparing for? And what are they working, you know, in the background, undercover? What are they putting into place? How are they choosing these people? It's just a lot of questions still. So,
well,
there's
one difference between the official designated survivor law, because you're right, there already is a procedure in place if a congressman dies. I mean, we've had congressmen die in office before. We had senators die in office before. The difference would be is that this new constitutional amendment, they're calling it the continuity amendment, just like the continuity of government, you know, the right. Rex 84 kind of guy, you know, the Raven bunker, all the Raven Downs. Like, the government's always thinking about how to protect itself. But the difference here is they would replace it within like 5 days, replace it within 10 days. It would be almost immediate. And I think the reason for that, Harrison, is that the government wants to have the power through a puppet to be able to bring forward some radical changes in the event of an October surprise or some other crazy event. And then they wouldn't have to get the public's mandate of approval. It would be the veneer of public approval because it's a congressman that's been brought in. But then all you have to do is control the governors. And hasn't that always been the case too? Think back to the 2020 election challenge. The governors were the most important position, because the governors, if they supported, again, challenging and really even talking with their Secretary of State and trying to listen to what President Trump was saying at the time about the election steal, then those states were at least a little more kind of apt to intervene. If the governor's not on board, I mean, Georgia, the governor was definitely not on board. You know, Brian Kemp was a complete enemy of right. President Trump and the Election Integrity Initiative. You lost it and you didn't have any control. So the governors in this case, and this hasn't been passed yet, but it is a weird, eerie thing that they were discussing, kind of shows you where their brains are at. In this event, the governor would basically, the governors of all the states, would now become the officials who are in charge of the country.
It's so weird. You know, what I said about it yesterday, like my first sort of knee-jerk reaction is like, if I was a congressman, I wouldn't choose five people. I don't want to make it easy. Like, yeah, let me make it easy for you. If I die, I want to make it right. easy for you to replace me. It's like, if somebody asked me to do that, I'd go, are you planning on killing me? Like, why are you trying to get me to set up this chain of events for when I die? I don't want to die. And if I do die, I don't care who follows me up. I don't know. It just strikes me as very suspicious. And if I was a congressman, I wouldn't choose five people to replace me. I'd go, no, if you kill me, you're going to have to deal with the fallout of
Maybe
it.
Maybe that was the subtle threat.
Right.
Maybe that was the subtle threat. Maybe it's a, you know, it was never meant to be anything more than just a shot across the bow to all the congressmen and all the senators, all the elected officials. As we approach October, you better stay in line. You better vote the way that we want you to vote. You better not rock the boat when it comes to a spending measure or a government shutdown or dare us, you know, go to war with Iran or Russia. You better not stand up, because congressmen, we have options. You know, it's really right. disgusting the way these people think, Harrison. And you know this, covering this every single day. You know, you're engaged in the info war. You know this, that the information itself is the battle. And, right. and congressmen, we already have an issue getting them to take a stand. Many of them are bought and paid for by lobbyists. Some of them are blackmailed. But in respect to this, they're literally being told, you may die and we can replace you in a moment. Get in line, congressman.
Right. And there's so many bizarre aspects of this. No one's like to think about that stuff. Kilmer introduces continuity plan ahead of the State Union. And also, you know, in studying this stuff and looking at the history of the world, you realize there's nothing that's beyond the pale for these people. I mean, the idea that bad actors either in our government or in another government or in the UN or whatever, like if you think it's outside of the range of possibility that they might themselves set off real pipe bombs this time and actually kill half the Congress. I mean, they've killed a million people in Ukraine for no particular reason. Like, these people don't care. And what they're willing to do is beyond your imagination. That's actually, you know, one of their strengths, is that like nobody but them could have ever imagined the Twin Towers going down, but they took them down in front of everybody, and they traumatized, and you know, the entire world in an afternoon. They'll do it again, and it looks like things are falling in place for something along those lines. And they can be blatant about it, because once the event happens, if the ammonium nitrate that went missing from a train a couple months ago is driven in a box truck up to Congress during a meeting of both the houses, and it blows up and everybody dies, you know, people are going to be so traumatized, it's going to be such an emergency, it's going to be such heightened emotion, nobody's going to look back at the evidence that they'd been preparing for this for at least like a couple years, right? It's going to be like, look, you may have speculation about that, but we got to deal with this right now. It's an emergency. So it's like when they do something like that, it's so intense that they can get away with setting everything. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Well, it makes absolute sense. I mean, it's again, why they come after InfoWars. I mean, what you guys do every single day is you disrupt their propaganda. You dissect their ability to wage chaos on the minds of the people of our nation and the people of this world. Because you think about it, we're so overwhelmed already. Like, we're in the news business. You know, we're really in God's business. We're trying to share the kingdom with people, and it just so happens that we're truth tellers in the information war. But in respect to the average person, their minds are already overwhelmed. They're getting maybe one or two pieces of information a day. Like here in Florida, Harrison, you may or may not know this, but whenever there is a hurricane, one, everyone blows it out of proportion. Sure, right. There's rain. Sure, there's wind. But no one is going to die. No. Well, some people obviously die when these storms come through. But you know what I mean? It's not going to be cataclysmic. It's not going to be a black swan that knocks out half the state. But people act like it. Like today, there's I was driving. I'm going to get gas. And there's people running into the store, grabbing Cheetos. And they're grabbing anything they can get their hands on. And it's something psychological. But then those are our fellow Americans. Those are our fellow citizens. So just imagine this. They don't have a way to process that the government is thinking about, like in a black swan event that will knock out half of Congress. They don't have any way to process that we might be going to war with Iran because President Trump's saying they're trying to kill him. I think at the heart of this, we have a job and a mandate to be level-headed truth tellers, to help inform our fellow man, and again, get past the propaganda, because the propaganda wants to lead us to chaos. We know that's the devil's modus operandi, you know, to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to sow chaos. Our Lord is a Lord of life, and our Lord is a Lord of order. And for us, we have to make sure we give that mindset to everybody who listens to us daily.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I think, you know, one thing that I've noticed recently over the past month or so is, you know, one of the deep state, the enemy's biggest strength is keeping us reacting to them. And they've sort of lost that a little bit. You know, they are used to, they do something out of the ordinary, just insane. We are all like shocked by it and knocked back by it. And as we're trying to deal with it, they're getting the next big surprise ready. And so they're sort of above it all. They know what's happening. They're not surprised by, you know, what they're doing. But something happened over the summer where like they started to lose that edge and they had to start responding. I'm, you know, just thinking about the debate with Biden being such a disaster, mm-hmm. the assassinations failing. And it felt a little bit like whoever's pulling the strings is trying to play catch up. And it seems like now they're like just gunning it, you know, pedal to the floor. They're trying to get everything in place so that they can regain and retain the initiative in the battle of consciousness. And they want to keep people in the back feed and shocked and surprised. And just as you were talking there, it just makes me think about like you have to like foster a calm in a crisis mentality, that even if things go crazy, you have to not contribute to that because it can make absolutely everything worse. And I just think about this with like my kids, my wife, God bless her. When like my kids are sick, she just like goes into like panic mode and she gets mad at me because I'm calm. She's like, why are you acting like this isn't a big deal? And I'm like,
don't you care about our kids?
I'm dealing with it, you know, right. Responsibly and respectfully and in a controlled way. That's how we need to deal with things. You need to think like a fighter pilot, where your heart rate goes down when an emergency happens because you know what's going on and you're able to handle it. So we're trying to sort of prepare people so when the event comes, not everybody is panicking and tearing their hair out and running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
Well, 100%. And I think when you look at that that specific mindset, you know, in this day and age, especially this month, my goodness, if mm-hmm. we don't understand what's happening, how can we be effective watchmen, effective, guards of again, the American public and the truth at large? I think of the stories that have hit this past week, even. You think to P. Diddy, the biggest sex scandal that you could even imagine since Jeffrey Epstein. He's basically the black Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
And then, even this morning, you were covering this before I came on with you, Mayor Adams. You know, the mayor of New York City was indicted. He got his house raided this morning by the FBI. They took his cell phone. They took a bunch of documents, took a bunch of things. And then you have to look at this. What is this all about? Harrison, I think what has happened, and the reason you talked about like them losing control, I think that the variable that changed, I mean, obviously, God has intervened. That bullet that missed President Trump's head, that was God intervening. Also, God's warriors are standing up. I think just even yesterday, Patrick Bet-David came out of nowhere. I mean, we've known about him, but he has on basically a man to show that the election machines can be hacked. I mean, this was mainstay on InfoWars, 4 years ago. You guys are ahead of everyone. But then think about this. He is risking everything to show that it can be hacked. And there's so many people like that. I mean, you got Steven Crowder now doing like James O'Keefe style stings.
Incredible stuff.
It's like, wow. And the enemy, they never could have seen this coming. And even with P. Diddy, I just think that they've done so much evil and they're so boisterous and so prideful. They never thought that people would stand up against them. That's what's happening now. Mm. And look at X and the internet. You and I, we have access to information so quickly to the degree of like the Library of Alexandria, the Library of Congress in at the touch of a finger. And we know things that would have taken years to come out, the kind of thing that we have to wait for a declassification. Not anymore. I mean, Mayor Adams, for example, I was reading this on X this morning. I looked into it. It's 100% correct. So we already knew that there was a connection between P. Diddy and Mayor Adams. They'd spent time together. They're, of course, it's one of the many politicians that P. Diddy was pictured with, over the course of the time he's being accused of sexual assault. But here's the thing. Did you know that Mayor Adams had given P. Diddy the keys to the city? He was actually honored as a VIP of New York City. And then the crazier part, this was back about a year ago, September 2023. Right after that, Mayor Adams was honored in a Freemason hall at the Gracie Mansion. They had a Freemason ceremony and made him a Master Mason. Now, people say, well, are these two things connected? I think it's very, very suspicious that a big-time kind of a honeypot agent of the devil is honored. And then in exchange for that honoring, you now have the Devil's Club, the Freemasons, bringing in Mayor Adams and claiming him as one of their own. I mean, we know about the Freemasons. We know about the things that are happening. But I'd say with the Freemasons specifically, they've been quiet, and we thought maybe they disappeared. But they actually intervened. I don't know if you know this. They intervened in the election in France. There was a very interesting story. It didn't hit many places. But they intervened against Marine Le Pen in the second round of the election there a couple months ago. And it was them and the coalition of left-wing groups that defeated Marine Le Pen, the populist candidate. Here in America, you got the Freemasons behind people like P. Diddy and Mayor Adams. And I tell you this, in what, 5 minutes, you and I have probably informed about 100,000 people about the evils of a Freemason lodge that's in their own town. And that's the thing they're afraid of, Harrison. They're afraid of you, they're afraid of me, and they're afraid of the speed of truth these days. Mm. And we have to keep fueling that information war.
Yeah, absolutely. And extrapolating from it and not just taking the revelations, for what they are and going, wow, that's crazy, and moving on. You know, talking about the Steven Crowder capturing the head of the New York City Health, talking about going to orgies, during lockdown and bragging about it. And like, it doesn't just stop there, right? You got to think like, okay, if that is who this guy is, how many people around him know that he's like that? And and would he ever hire a righteous, upstanding, fearless person as an employee? Of course not. He's going to be constantly terrified of being exposed. So every decision he makes is going to have that aspect to it, that, a dimension to his calculations is, okay, this person's really good, but they seem like the type of person that would blow the whistle on me, so I'm not going to hire him. And so do that for a couple generations, and everybody at the top level is an evil scumbag that only hires evil scumbags. That's how we got to the point where we are now. Do you think the indictment has anything to do with P. Diddy? Like, what's the connection there? You were telling me before we went live about a connection to Turkish money. I guess more has come out about Mayor Adams. Can you tell us what's been revealed there and whether you think there's a connection to P. Diddy?
Yes, I was just laughing at the photos you were putting on screen of the Jeffrey Epstein, the P. Epstein, the P. Diddy Epstein. Now, listen, what is officially being reported, and it's from the AP, the establishment media, they're saying that the indictment today will be unsealed and will show that Mayor Adams was being investigated for taking money from the government of Turkey. This was in his election campaign. I think that it's more likely that maybe this is a little bit of a check on Mayor Adams. If you're listening to a lot of the reports coming from P. Diddy's associates and former former assistants, other rappers in the game that worked under Diddy, they were saying that this was going to lead back to Mayor Adams' office. Mm-hmm. And I think that maybe this is a little bit of a gut check to Mayor Adams to tell him to shut his mouth. I do think this is tied. There's no way this isn't tied together because the feds are also running the P. Diddy investigation. And it's an enormous investigation that involves Mayor Adams. It involves most of the left-wing politicians in this country. It could also be a distraction. I mean, we know the playbook of the enemy. Could they be trying to indict him to try to change the narrative so we don't start talking about people like P. Diddy or maybe worse, people like Tony West? Because we were stolen from the primary. We never got the chance to really look into Kamala Harris, which we would have done. We would have done a rigorous job looking into her, but she was polling at 1%, never got out of the primary. And then out of nowhere, Joe Biden's gone, Kamala Harris is in, and now her brother-in-law, who you're seeing here on screen, Tony West, he's now a mainstay. A lot of people don't know who Tony West is, but they should, Harrison, because Tony West worked under Bill Clinton. He worked under Barack Obama, and he was in charge of a $1 billion embezzlement scheme. And past this, he also has his own ties to this P. Diddy scandal. I've been diving through this, Harrison, because I'm trying to inform and educate as many people as I can, especially Democrat voters. You know, in this month we have left before the election, I don't think they're going to vote for someone this corrupt, I hope. But this man is slated to become the White House counsel, and his own tie back to the Jeffrey Epstein of the Black Freemason Lodges, you know, P. Diddy, comes from a man named Ron Burkle. Now, Ron Burkle is a billionaire donor.
Can you stay on for five more minutes? We got a five-minute segment on the other side. I'd love to finish out this conversation because I feel like we're not quite done, but I think we can wrap it up in 5 minutes on the other side with the third hour of American Journal. Stay tuned, folks. Infowars.com, band.video. Edward Zoll is my guest at died_suddenly_ on X, the website diedsuddenly.info. We'll be back on the other side to hear what he was about to say.
I got a great way for you to keep InfoWars on the air, and regardless what happens, InfoWars keep me on the air, and that's the AlexJonesStore.com, a new key URL for you to mark down. I've teamed up with the folks that make a lot of the top-selling Trump shirts in the country. They've got the best t-shirt designers, Bigly. If you go to TheAlexJonesStore.com, that's separate from InfoWars, that's key to support, into the future, whatever happens here, 30-plus amazing new t-shirt designs, new ones being added every day. They're incredible. Trump shirts, you name it, TheAlexJonesStore.com. And every time you buy a shirt or 30-plus different great designs of Patriot ball caps, you get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day. It's different every day, into the raffle to get $10,000 cash. Halloween's when the prize is announced, the winner. And a $138,000 turbo diesel super deluxe off-road upgraded, the best truck you can get, over-the-top turbo diesel engine, AEV standard features. And then it's all upgraded. I tried to go over, take an hour. The best tires, the best shocks, the best systems. It's a 2024 Ram Prospector AEV Dodge turbo diesel. Army green, black with red pinstripe. Ready for you. When you buy something, you entered 5 or 10 times, depending on what promo they're running that day, in the raffle. All at TheAlexJonesStore.com. But the t-shirts, the reason to go there, keep us on air. And these are badass shirts. They've got over 30 incredible t-shirt designs. I think there's more now. They're adding more every day at TheAlexJonesStore.com. They're designer. They're high quality. They're all there. Some of the InfoWars classics, they updated, made even better. A lot of new incredible designs. A lot of Alex Jones shirts. A lot of Trump shirts. It's all there. at thealexjonesstore.com. We need your aid. We need your support. Plus, he's a great church. You'll meet like-minded people. It spreads the word. It's exciting to wear these out in public. Most people will agree with you and love you. You'll meet so many friends. Go to thealexjonesstore.com. We need your support. No excuses. Take action. thealexjonesstore.com. Thank you. Enter to win right now at thealexjonesstore.com.